Good to talk with you all again. Before I get started, want to make sure there's nothing that's on your mind. It's something you all want to talk about first.
No, I don't think so.
Melanie, how's anything new with your leadership North Carolina deal?
The second session starts today.
All right. You looking forward to it or not?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. All right. Let me start with. I'd like to ask each of the partners two questions. I'm going to ask the same questions of everybody. Melanie, let me start with you, if I may. As it has to do with implementing Supernova, doing the things that you all wanted to get done as you came into Supernova, what do you think is working well?
I think that the scheduling is working well. You know, the process pre-meeting, during the meeting, post-meeting, you know, the agenda, the financial planning update, I mean, all of that process to me is working well. And what I can see, clients are, you know, really enjoying it, and, I mean, business is picked up because of it. And also, we've been taking the opportunity when we can, and clients, again, are being really receptive, and I mean, we've been getting some pretty decent referrals. I have, and I think other people have too.
When you say business has picked up, can you give me one brief example of what that looks like?
So basically, because of, you know, again, the awareness, we are looking at long-term care, we're doing life insurance reviews, and we're implementing some of those things that we usually don't think about firsthand, but that's all because of Supernova and our agendas and the team's strength in those areas. So that is, you know, obviously that increases revenue, but in my particular situation, we've been putting a lot of money in movement and to work that really was not necessarily in the right places before. And clients really like that, you know, change. And they, you know, they like the fact that we're making those recommendations.
Great report. What I would tie this back to, when you say you're looking at long-term care and other things that you hadn't been doing consistently before, that gets back to how you all want to differentiate the planning you're doing versus the competition. Planning is two things are part of your planning. One, that you revisit plans on a regular basis, and your plans are fully implemented. People who have too large a practice and don't have a good process seldom get a plan fully implemented. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, as you have done this, Melanie, has anyone recognized value? You touched on it a second ago, but has anybody recognized value that's allowed you to get into that conversation? Thank you, Ms. Jones, for saying that. Is there anyone else who you think would appreciate this same type of guidance or whatever? Have you been able to have any of those types of conversations?
Yes. I've had that conversation at least 2 to 3 times, you know, in the last month. And they have been with more people who are like my peers, like people in their early 50s. And the referrals, I mean, we've had like 2 or 3 different ones, and it's been people that, you know, we've known for a while, but I've said those words, you know, if you recognize this, and, you know, we joke about how, you know, we're getting older and parents are sick and that kind of stuff, and, you know, do you know other people that would benefit from this? And it's an easy conversation to have, and they're like, yeah, you know, finally it's time to get serious about this. And then when you start doing their financial plan, they have over $1 million. You know, or they at least have $600,000-$700,000, and they're 50. So it's for us, it's been a good asset gathering purely by the financial plan, except in one case, which was because of the divorce certification that I have. That's the last client.
Great news. Great news. I just want you to know, I ask you one more question. Do you realize how young 50 is?
Yes, I do, because I'm 53, and I feel like I'm 35. It's a backwards number.
Yeah, well, I just want it's young. I'm going to have to ask you to excuse me. I live out in the country, and my grandsons are here, and there's a guy in the yard I don't recognize. And
okay. Bear
with me 2 minutes.
He does live out in the country. Outside of Nashville. So I emailed this. Interesting
you would bring that out. I'm going to touch on that before our time is over here today. Same questions. What's working well, and then what isn't working as well as you would like for it to?
What's worked well this year so far has been the team approach in getting the team in front of clients, certain clients. Like I can directly look back and see where things have progressed because of the team and getting out of my own silo. So that's resonated well with clients, and kind of like what Melanie was saying too. As a result of that, like some ancillary business from those existing clients has come on board. You know, so some rollovers from existing clients, the team approach, the insurance business, long-term care, so, and we're just trying to get all that closed between now and year end. So that's what's worked well.
Joel, can you think of a specific example when you have waved in Tim or Melanie to talk to your client about a specific issue?
Absolutely, yes, several.
Give me one example.
Just right now, we're working on an insurance exchange for a lady who's widowed, and we brought Melanie in. And not only are we doing the insurance exchange, but the client left feeling empowered to change the trustee, who's an attorney, and you know that it was because she heard it in stereo. Not just me saying it, that she kind of felt, oh, wow, well, if two people are saying it, then maybe it is true. So that's one example.
All right. I hope this doesn't sound corny. can you feel the power of your of what you're putting together to be able to have a resource like Melanie? Do you feel how you're starting to develop a really strong brand and how you're separating yourself from most of the competition out there?
Yes, I do. I begin to see where it can certainly add value. Yes.
And you are a concierge. You all are a concierge practice with the power of a well-known firm behind you. I mean, you all are developing something. I mean, you had it when we got together, but you're refining something that is a really, really strong brand. What's not working so well?
I would echo what Melanie said. I think that we have to continue to look for ways to cross into other people's silos. So I need to maybe be in more meetings with Tim and his clients and Melanie and her clients, and we just need to, you know, we set a goal to try to meet each other's clients, and we've done that some, but you know, because of the FAPs, it's kind of difficult to put everything into one number. So I think that just integrating into each other's practices, I think, is one. And then the other is, for next year, is to follow up on these centers of influence, these, and to really make sure that the people and the CPAs and attorneys that we met with this year, that we're very deliberate and intentional about nailing down a smaller list next year and expecting reciprocity from it.
And making sure that they understand the power of RHO's brand.
Right,
that
right.
They can specifically talk about what you all do. Terrific. Tim, same questions. Let's start with what you think is working well.
I would agree with Melanie and Joel and all that they said. One additional thing that I think has been helpful is in the process that we're using, I think the number of serendipitous phone calls that come in sporadically, randomly, has died down, and I think that's because of the process that we're using, where especially Supernova clients, they know that we have a scheduled date in the future, 3 months from now, and that you know, they're just not hanging out there for them to be, you know, reactive to any kind of news that's out there, so therefore they call us, and we have to be reactive to their needs. So that has been a big benefit, I think.
You say something that is really important as far as getting referrals. You said your clients know that they're going to have a call from you sometime in the next 3 months. They know that's going to happen. So when this client is with a friend and that friend says, you know, I haven't heard from my advisor at Merrill Lynch in 6 months, your client is going to be able to describe what you do. Well, I talk to my advisor on a quarterly basis, and it's scheduled. You see how you empower your clients to talk about your practice as it compares to what a friend of theirs might say they're not getting.
Yes.
Very, very, very important. What are you not pleased with? What's not working well?
I would agree with Melanie in sort of the full integration of team, and I also will add, and maybe this is sort of a more personal thing, but I still have a hard time with time, or the lack of it, the lack of time, yeah. So I have a real challenge in trying to get everything done, tasks completed, these kinds of things, allocation of meetings. I'm working on it. I think it's gotten better, but that's still a challenge for me.
All right. If you were diagnosing yourself, Tim, what is the first priority? What's the first piece of advice you would give to yourself around your feeling of lack of time?
Are you saying what's the cause of it?
I'm really looking for a solution. What do you need to do differently? And I know it's a pretty deep question, requires thought, but just off the top of your head, what's one thing you think if you could do differently? And let's put this in context. You're working hard. You're busy. Good things are happening. So this is not a problem. It's a way to get, it's really an efficiency question. So what's the first thing that pops to your mind that if you could do it consistently, do something consistently, it'd help you with your time management problem?
I think we've identified it Tammy's not here and she can't be here to defend herself. But, I mean, she is not a registered staff person. So she can't do a lot of the decision-making or, initiate a phone call to clients, say, we know you have insufficient funds, so let's sell X, that kind of thing. The team has really been helpful in the fact that everyone else is registered.
All right.
So the challenge is to allocate efficiently responsibilities and so forth. And so that's part of, I think, team integration and some of the things that we still need to work on there, expectations of roles and so forth. So
okay.
I guess that's what I would say.
All right. All right. All right. Tim, what I would say to you is what I talked about earlier in Supernova. This is not a bad team trying to get better. This is a really good team getting better, improving on what they're doing.
Let me just add, if you don't mind, that while Tammy's not registered, she certainly is incredibly valuable to, for her organizational skills. So, I mean, part of the challenge for us moving forward is really defining clearly roles and responsibilities and to collaborate, communicate among each other to ensure that things are completed efficiently. And I would say, let me be clear, it's not a criticism. It is just something that I think we'll always need to work on. And I'll also say that it's gotten a ton better for my situation under this team approach.
I did not take what you said as negative. It's just a fact. So
right.
I didn't take it as criticism. All right. Let me get into something that we call the 5-star leadership model. And you don't need to turn to the page, but it's outlined briefly on page 29 in your manual. And we think that there are 5 areas that a team needs to cover. Those areas are planning, implementation, service/brand, it's the same thing, marketing, and leadership. So just to describe each of those, The person in charge of planning, it's referred to in Rob's book and in the guide as the VP of planning, ensures that every client has a plan. the VP of implementation, and part of that person's job is the investment process, that you have a consistent investment process. Another part of their job is to make sure that a plan is fully implemented. So the first one is planning, ensuring every client has a plan. The second is the head of implementation. The third is the person who's in charge of the brand, servicing, the client experience. For example, when a client comes into the office, how is that client greeted? What are they offered? Where do you meet? Who is in charge of onboarding the clients? That somebody needs to be leading service. The fourth is marketing. That's branding, website updating your website, social media, special events. And then the last part is leadership. Somebody has to be responsible for guiding it. That doesn't mean they're controlling it. They're just helping get, you know, here's where we are, here's where we want to go. Now let's figure out how to get there. So as you think about this, and these are the five things we think need to get covered. You might say there's six. You might say we only need four. You may want to look at this differently. But we think these five need to be covered: planning, implementation, service, marketing, and leadership. So as you think about this, and you all haven't had any time to think about it, but Tim, as far as the person who would be in charge of implementation, and I'm just picking that one out of the blue, who would be best, in your opinion, in the team to be responsible for making sure that the investment process is updated and everyone is aware of it and following it, and also be in charge of making sure that all plans are implemented? Does anybody jump out at you as the best fit for that?
Well, I mean, Michael Harris is someone who plays a role as analyst and looks over the due diligence on all money managers, PM models, various asset allocations among clients. I think he would be that person, and I think he's playing that role. Sure.
Yeah, I think I would agree he's playing that role on the investment side. I think with me and my client, Katie plays the role on the planning side. Because before meetings, she updates the financial plan, and after meetings, she implements what we discussed in the financial plan, like long-term care or life insurance review, and Mike implements the investment recommendations and the proposals and everything doing with that. So we kind of split that. I would imagine Joel and maybe...
I think that's probably somewhere across the
board,
team.
Yeah.
Although, Rob, I probably, you know, I do my own inputs for the financial plans because I know that software backwards and forwards is...
All right. Well, do you all see the value of an exercise, not just an exercise, but of looking at these five areas, defining those areas, and then assigning someone to be responsible for that area? That doesn't mean they do all the work. They're just responsible for making sure that that is consistently delivered by the team. Do you see the value in doing that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I've been, you know, part of teams before and seen how a lot of teams work, and oftentimes what happens is there's no one, you call it implementation, I call it moving the business forward, pushing it forward. You know, financial advisors tend to focus on a singular piece of business. They want to move forward, and they keep chasing that till it's done, and so all the rest of the business isn't moving forward, it's kind of standing still. So part of this meeting that we have prior to your meeting, and we've got a pipeline and we kind of have what's going on, and I think that we look at that as kind of an implementation sort of thing, but I see the value in having, like, so not somebody necessarily doing that work, but being in charge of that role.
Well, and I think, too, Melanie, as you as you all have talked about the silos as you are now, I think this helps with the cross pollinization that each of you have talked about. Let me tell you what else this does is it adds a lot of substance to meetings. When you have your team meeting and the person who's in charge of each of these categories, each person is called to update what's going on. Michael might say, I've been talking to this money manager. They're talking about some things that I think fit for us where we think we want to go. And Michael shares that. Whoever would be in charge of the service plant brand talks about the scheduling, how it's going, any problems it might have, any meetings that are being missed, how the client's going to be treated, all of those things. It just adds a lot to the meeting and provides a lot of communication. Now, something we've talked about before is the game board. When you think about meetings, team meetings, wanting to keep them vibrant, fresh, informative, if each of the five leaders here, planning, implementation, brand, marketing, leadership, reports, brings everybody up to date, and each of the individual FAs each person in the team talk about their game board, what they were trying, what they put on the game board for the past week, and how well they did. There's a lot right there that makes a meeting very, very fresh. Team meetings die because I'll use y'all's names. Tim comes in and says, "Joe, you got anything?" "No, I don't have anything." "Bella, you got anything?" "No, I don't have anything." "Okay, we'll meet next week." That happens a couple times, and nobody really wants to come to a meeting because they're not a good use of time. So what I would ask you to do for next time is to look at these five areas. And, again, it's really briefly talked about on page 29 and 31, I think it is. I don't have that in front of me. And decide what areas you want to cover. Again, I've given you the five we think need to get covered. What goes speeds up into each of those headings, and who is going to be responsible for making sure it's accomplished. Again, as it was pointed out a second ago, this is not about who does the work. It's just who can report on whether or not you're getting those things accomplished. I think if you could do that work before our next call, I think that would be a really good exercise.
Okay.
All right. One other thing to if we go to the bottom of the hour here, are you all using your game board?
No.
I would really ask you to do that. It's one or two, no more than that, things that you want to get accomplished. They have to be quantifiable, and they have to be doable. Just the person who's, it might be I want to have two financial planning conversations this week. Again, it's one or two things. I just had too many good stories about people putting things on the game board and getting them done. I got a testimonial here I could read, but it's in the interest of time. If you will write down what you think you want to get done in the next week, not the only thing, quantify it, and then report on that in your team meeting, I think that it will be something. Nobody's going to hold you more accountable than you're going to hold yourself accountable. It's good to use in team meetings. When is your team meeting?
Tuesdays at 9:30.
All right, and is that pretty sacred time? Do you have those every week?
We do.
Good. All right. I don't have time to. I've got a couple other things, but not urgent. I can get to the. I can start next time with that. Anybody else got anything that you want to talk about?
I think we're good. We appreciate your time.
Hey, I really, really, really like what you all are doing. I feel the energy in your voices. I mean, each one of you gave me a great report. This is a situation everybody wins. Client wins, you win, the firm wins. Great service is a differentiator, and you all are developing something special. I appreciate your hard work.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
We'll talk. We'll talk next month.
Okay.
Sounds good. Bye.
Bye.